chapters, and then we'll go on to the word-by-word translations, and then after that, the translation.
Yathar-chishogne-sabitur-garastayo Niryanti-samyanjasa-kritsva-rochasaha Tathayato-yam-guna-sampravaho Budhirmanakani-sharir-sargaha Zavaina devasura marchatiryan na stri na sandyo na puman na jantuhu Nayam guna karma na san na chasan Nishera shesho jayatara shesha.
Okay, you repeat. Yasya. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who? Brahma Adayaha, the great demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, Devaha, and other demigods, Vedaha, the Vedic knowledge, Lokaha, different personalities. Chara-acharaha, the moving and the non-moving, like trees and plants. Nama-rupa, of different names and different forms. Vivedena, by such divisions. Palgovya, who are less important. Cha, also. Kaleha, by the parts. Kritaha, created. Yata, as. Archishaha, the sparks. Agnehe, of fire. Savituhu, from the sun. Gavastayaha, the shining particles. Niryanti, emanate from. Sanghyanti, and enter into. Asakrit, again and again. Swarochishaha, as parts and parcels. Tata, similarly. Yataha, the personality of Godhead, from whom? I am this. Guna sampravaha, continuous manifestation of the different modes of nature. Buddhi manaha, the intelligence and mind. Kani, the senses. Shahira, of the body, gross and subtle. Sargaha, the divisions. Saha, that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vai, indeed. Na, is not. Deva, demigod. Asura, demon. Marcha, human being. Tiryak, bird or beast. Na, neither. Stri, woman. Na, nor. Sannaha, neuter. Nudra means not man or woman. So, na, neither. Puman, man. Na, nor. Jantahu, living being or animal. Naiham, nor is he. Gunaha, material quality. Karma, fruit of activity. Na, is not. Sat, manifestation. Na, nor. Cha, also. Asat, non-manifestation. Nisheda, of the discrimination. Of neti neti. Not this, not this. Sheshaha, here's the end. Jayatat, all glories unto him. Asheshaha, who is unlimited. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates his minor parts and parcels, the jiva tattvas, beginning with Lord Brahma, the demigods, and the expansions of Vedic knowledge, sama, rig, yajur, and atharva, and including all other living entities, moving and non-moving, with their different names and characteristics. As the sparks of a fire or the shining rays of the sun emanate from their source and merge into it again and again, the mind, intelligence, the senses, the gross and subtle material bodies, and the continuous transformations of the different modes of nature all emanate from the Lord and again merge into him. He is neither a demigod nor a demon, neither human nor bird or beast. He is not woman, man, or neuter, nor is he an animal. He is not a material quality, a fruit of activity, a manifestation, or non-manifestation. He is the last word in the discrimination of not this, not this. And he is unlimited. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This is a summary description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's unlimited potency. That Supreme One is acting in different phases by manifesting His parts and parcels, which are all simultaneously differently situated by His different potencies, Purusha Shaktir, Vipadaiva Shruyate. Each and every potency is acting quite naturally. Subhavi ki jnana bulakriya cha. Therefore, the Lord is unlimited. Natat samas cha dyadi kas cha cha jishyate. Nothing is equal to him, nor is anything greater than him. Although he manifests himself in so many ways, personally he has nothing to do. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. Where everything is done by expansions of his unlimited energies. Very interesting. So, Om Ganat Timanandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, of course, this description is very similar to what we were talking about the other day in terms of the transformation of Krishna's energies. Remember we talked about that? It's called, in Sanskrit, I'm going to go very slow, Parinama. It's called Shakti Parinama. Everybody can understand? I'll repeat it again. Shakti Parinama. Good, good. Very good. So Shakti Parinama means the transformation of Shakti. Shakti is the energy of Krishna. Of course, there's many people in this world who worship Shakti. Can anyone give me an example? Durga. They worship the Shakti, or the energy of the Lord. And Krishna is called, here's another word for you, Shakti Mam. So there's another word you can impress people with, which means the possessor of the Shaktis, or the controller of the Shaktis, Ishwara Paramakrishna. So these Shaktis transform in different ways. And a lot of the Bhagavatam's descriptions in the first few cantos about the creation, you know, you hear about how one element manifests another element. You know, first you have the subtler material elements and their subsequent or their attached qualities. You know, like you have the sound in ether. Anyone's heard of that before? No, no one's heard of that before. Every material quality has a particular every material element has a particular quality. The sound in ether. And does anyone know where the smell comes from? Earth, that's right. There's the smell of the earth, the sound in the ether. And so, where does touch come from? What? Wind. I was giving you a hint by blowing in the air. So all these elements, in other words, you start with the false ego in the material world, and then it gets all transformed. This Maya Shakti becomes transformed. I mean, actually, first you start with the Pradhan, which is the unmanifest state of the material energy of the three modes of nature. Then the three modes enter, and everything becomes transformed. So that's called Shakti Parinam, just to repeat myself. And the interesting thing is, we do not have Shakti Mam Parinam. In other words, Shakti Mam Parinam means that the source of the Shakti becomes transformed. It doesn't. Krishna does all these things without losing anything, as we hear, Om Purnamidam. The first verse in the Upanishad, the Supreme Lord is perfect and complete, and even though he has so many complete and perfect manifestations, he remains perfect and complete. What that means, he never gets affected or transformed by anything he does. Everything we do, we either lose something or get affected or get angry or transformed by external things that happen, isn't it? Or even internal things that happen. So that's the difference between the Lord and ourselves. So you got this Shakti Parinam, and then the living entities are also subject to this other word called Vivarta, or illusion. This Vivarta is interesting. Jagadananda Pandit, one of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's most intimate associates, who is Satyabhama in Krishna Leela, he wrote this particular book, Prema Vivarta. And that talks about the illusion that occurs when someone has prema. So it's interesting that we're always going to be an illusion. Which is interesting. That either you're... It's interesting, isn't it? Either you're under the Maya Shakti or the Yoga Maya Shakti, you know, the Mahamaya or Yoga Maya. Under Mahamaya, you're thinking you're the enjoyer. Ishwaroham aham bhogi, Siddhoham Balavan Sukhi, I am the controller, controlling the cyclones or whatever. And then controller, enjoyer, proprietor, etc. And then under the Yogamaya potency, you're under the illusion that Krishna is not God. That he's just like a cute little boy who you've given your heart to, who you want to dance with or you want to play with, or you just want to serve. And that's Vrindavan. So at least for us. Of course, in the Vaikuntha planets, they're not so much illusion like we are when we go back to Godhead. Wow, think about it. And if I come to Blandis, they still understand that Narayan is God. But when we go back to Godhead, we forget that Krishna is God. Because unless we forget, there's no question of fun. Because fun comes from close, intimate, the highest fun comes from close, intimate, loving relationships. And these loving relationships are exhibited not just in a stereotypical way, like just, oh, I'm serving you, but also in terms, sometimes the gopis, they are chastising Krishna, sometimes they're getting angry at him. So many things are happening like that. Sometimes they even think, I don't want to see him anymore. So this is the yogamaya potency of the Lord. So this vivarta, so getting back to the point, is that Jagannanda Pandit, he describes in his book Prema Vivarta these different manifestations of the illusion that the devotees are under when they're in prema. Of course, in this material world, when someone is in love, they're also an illusion. That's another type. I wouldn't say prema vivarta, I'd say kama vivarta. So you're learning a lot of words today in class. Kama vivarta means the illusion of being in lust. But in the spiritual world, it's just, and many times I've told the devotees that when one is in love, it's like having, according to the scientists even, it's like having been under the influence of drugs. Like the brain scan looks exactly the same. So also in the spiritual world, when you're in love with Krishna, it's like being under the influence of drugs. So anyway, so the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So getting back to the point, several points here, is that Krishna's energies are first-class servants of Krishna. When we talked about this before, how one should become a first-class servant of the spiritual master. So the first-class servant means that Krishna doesn't even have to tell his energies what to do. It's not that Krishna has a board meeting every morning with his energies. Just like here in the temple, we have a temple board. And there's a chairman, and he meets with all of his energies. His shaktis. Anyway. And he tells... And they cooperate, and they set off. Or, like, Vishwanath goes to work, and I'm sure you have meetings every day, right? With all of your energies. Because he's the boss. And, of course, there's always a bigger boss, isn't it? There's always a boss over the boss over the boss until you get to the supreme original boss, Krishna. Krishna's the source of all bosses in this material world. The source of bosses everywhere. So anyway, so you have a meeting and you discuss, hey, we got this strategic planning, you know, and this has to be done today, and you didn't do this right yesterday. And, of course, everybody obeys Vishwanath at work because they're afraid of losing their job. Oh, well, because they love him. Okay. Because they love him. So anyway, so there has to be a meeting every day. So what we find in the Krishna consciousness movement is that when there's not regular meetings between the devotees, then there's misunderstandings. That's actually one thing I've seen here. I was thinking about this morning while I was trying to hear the holy names. So I was thinking that actually the reason we're not really able to push forward our movement as dynamically as we'd like to push forward is because there's so many misunderstandings between our members. And there's certain things that exacerbate, makes worse the misunderstandings. One of them is called email and texting. Another one's called texting. And another one is called talking behind people's backs. So we have all these wonderful methods here for making our relationships horrible, for having enemies. We're actually following the footsteps or the teachings of Sandanamarka very nicely here. Sandanamarka, everybody knows who Sandanamarka were the teachers of Prahlad Maharaj, and they were trying to teach Prahlad Maharaj about Niti Shastra. In other words, friends and enemies, how to deal with friends and enemies. So we all regularly study their teachings to here in Fiji, how to have enemies between the different devotees. You know, he's my enemy, he's my friend. We read the divine and demoniac nature in the Bhagavad Gita. Right? We read that, take it out of context. He is my enemy, I've conquered him, like this. And so, so we have these, what we call enemy images. And so what these are caused, basically, by a failure to communicate. And to communicate on a personal level. So when you communicate on a personal level, and communication on a personal level has to be done on a regular basis. Practically every day or every other day or something like that, or misunderstandings arise when there's no communication. I'm just like, the last few days I've been dealing with a situation in another country. The country's name is Serbia, which Gurga Muni is well aware of. It's not his country. In his country, everyone loves each other and chants kumbaya every day with each other, you know, joins hands. But in this particular country, it's quite interesting that you have people calling each other names. And I said, hey, why don't you just meet with each other and talk to each other? And they say, no, he doesn't say he's a demon, but anyway, they say, he's criticizing me. And everyone says, he's criticizing me. And they're both saying exactly the same thing about each other. So they're not communicating. So any relationship requires working on a relationship. Normally we think, unfortunately, that once we have a relationship, the relationship will go on increasing and ultimately engage in loving exchanges. But it's not even like that with Krishna. We have to engage in the process of bhakti because we have another point about this particular verse is Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grayam Indriya. That's what's mentioned in this verse, that you really can't understand Krishna with your material understanding or material senses. So you have to cultivate. You have to, every day you have to cultivate. It's not enough you just chant Hare Krishna once a week on the Sunday feast. Of course, you don't even come to the Sunday feast. But anyway, so it's not enough. But every day we have to cultivate that loving mood and relationship with Krishna, or else our attitude changes and it becomes, you know, we even start to criticize Krishna, you know, behind his back. Of course, you can't criticize Krishna behind his back, right? That's impossible, because his face is everywhere and his back is everywhere. So it's impossible to do something without Krishna hearing you or seeing you. I had one disciple who sometimes threatens Krishna, unless you do what I want, Krishna, I'm not gonna feed you. So anyway, so we have to cultivate. So with relationships between ourselves, then we should have regular meetings and talk about, you know, our expectations. Talk about our vision, you know, strategic planning and all those other things like that on a regular basis, not once a month. Just like we're talking to the youth, how we should have meetings. Let's start with once every 2 weeks. Once a month is not enough. And in the beginning, you have to expect some storming, as they say. Just like when you learn about forming a team. You know, there's forming, storming, transforming, you know, whatever. And ultimately performing, right? So, anyway, so that's what we have to do in this world. However, referring to this verse, Krishna doesn't have to do that. He has it easy. He's just the boss and everybody cooperates. Why? Because they're all first-class servants of Krishna and they know what Krishna wants. And he doesn't have to communicate with them because they already know. I mean, a pure devotee is like that in relationship with Krishna. Just like it's described about Rupa Goswami. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadavayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So Rupa Goswami is our, in one sense, Samstapaka Acharya, not of ISKCON, but of, you know, in the modern day Krishna consciousness movement, because Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam, he has understood what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants. So, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did give him some instruction, But he was able to elaborate on that instruction, bring in rasa theology, so many things, because he was connected with the Lord. So he's like one of Krishna's pure energies. Of course, a devotee is, in one sense, the Shakti. A devotee is called the... He is the incarnation, in one sense, of the Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like we say, Shakta Vesh Avatar. You've heard about that before? Shakta Vesh Avatar. What is a Shakta Vesh Avatar? A Shakta Vesh Avatar, the word avatar means to come down. So what is coming down is the Shakti. And also the devotee comes down from the spiritual world, so he's an avatar. So he's manifesting, he's a manifestation of that pure Shakti of the Lord that is a pure servant of the Lord, a first-class servant of the Lord that does what the Lord wants without the Lord asking, or does what the spiritual master wants without the spiritual master asking. And you see, like with Srila Prabhupada got his initial instructions from his guru. You preach in English, you preach in the Western world. And he was able to manifest the Shakti of that instruction because he was a pure servant of his spiritual master. It's very wonderful. And ultimately, we should try to become pure servants of our spiritual master and his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. So that's a first-class servant. Therefore, it's described here, as Prabhupada quotes, Natasya karyam karnam javidyate. Krishna doesn't have to do anything. He's like on vacation all the time. Of course, he also says in the Gita that he does sometimes do things to set an example. You know, yadyadacharya. He said, if I don't act, then the whole world will be destroyed. Because, in other words, if Krishna comes down and he doesn't set the example like Lord Ram, setting the example of ideal king, ready to sacrifice even his own happiness for the citizens, then how will people know anything? Of course, Krishna in Vrindavan doesn't set such a good example. We don't follow his example, you know, dancing with girls in the middle of the night and pinching babies. We do not do that. So, anyway, so Krishna acts when he comes down as a king, Prithu Maharaj, who's also Shaktavesh, Prithu Maharaj, or Lord Ram, or Krishna and Dwarka. There's all these examples that Krishna is setting. So even though he doesn't have to act, he sets an example. Because the first-class energies are always doing what Krishna, and the first-class devotees are always doing what Krishna wants. So the second-class servant, or second-class devotee, or second-class disciple, does what the guru wants, but he has to be told. And he does it in a very happy way. And it's very hard to find disciples like that, even second-class. First-class is just like so rare that if you do find it, you post his name on the internet. You say, you know, I finally found a first-class disciple, you know, wow. You put it on dandavats.com, you know. First-class disciple found, first one in the Hare Krishna movement. Anyway, so... When actually, Prabhupada had many first-class disciples. Srila Tibala Krishnamurti was first-class disciple. But at least we should be second-class. Second-class does, and we're very happy. Yes, yes, sir. Okay, whatever you want, sir, I'll do. And unfortunately, a lot of people in third class, they do what the guru wants, but they're really unhappy about it. In other words, it's not quite bhakti. It's like karma yoga, a type of karma yoga, where they do what Krishna wants, but it's just like, I'm doing what Krishna wants because I'm supposed to do it. You know, I don't want to do it, but if I don't do it, you know, my life will be unfortunate. I'll lose my money. You know, something like that. You know, they're doing it under duress. Duress means threat. That if they don't do it, you know, like a lot of you were scared, like if you don't worship the demigods, then, you know, what will happen? your parents tell you, you join the Hare Krishna movement, and you have a fever because you didn't worship Ganesh properly, or whatever, or Durga, or whatever, or you didn't go to the witch doctor here in Fiji. Fiji, they have witch doctors. Many devotees have died because they went to the witch doctor. But anyway, so similarly, we're worshiping Krishna or following the Guru's order because we're scared of not doing it. That's the third class. And the tenth class, of course, doesn't do what the Guru wants, even after the Guru or Krishna asks the person to do it. So we should become first class. And here, Krishna's energies are first class. So that's another very important point here. And ultimately, there was the point I made, the Prabhupada is making here and the verse is making here, is that Krishna is beyond the purview of our material senses. In other words, he doesn't fit into any category. This is what the point here. You know, if you say, is Krishna man or woman or neuter or even materially black or white or human being or animal or what is he? You know, put him in some category. And he doesn't fit in any category because he's beyond, his body is made of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. How can you understand that? You know, we go to the doctor and our body is made of tridaduke, bile, mucus, air, blood, pus, all those other wonderful things. And then Krishna, you know, Krishna is a spiritual body. What is a spiritual body? I don't know, isn't it? If you ask me, you know, what is a spiritual body? What does it look like, huh? Isn't it? Well, it's, you can say it's not this, like Prabhupada describes here, neti neti. Yes. In the purport, Prabhupada talks about, no, actually in the verse, it says not this, not. You can say it's not pus, it's not blood, it's not mucus, it's not white, not black, not this, not that. But what is it? Anyway, so in order to understand it, I'll continue that verse. Tachi Krishna namadi nabhavet grahamindriya seva mukhehi jivado swayameva spirachita. You have to serve the Lord, especially in this Kali Yuga, with your tongue. And that doesn't mean just going everywhere and find out wherever the prasadam is. We have some devotees who are just like, they show up. I mean, if you were having prasadam on the moon, they would be there. If I was taking a spaceship and going to the moon and just have a big feast there, what are you doing there in the moon? How'd you get here? So that's also. I mean, service. Yeah, it's service to take prasadam. I guess it's nice to honor prasadam. But to serve Krishna with the tongue, by chanting, glorification. And just like we hear that, Kaler Doshanat Hey Rajan Asheko Mahadguna Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parambajat. In this Kali Yuga, which is an ocean of difficulty, the method of becoming Krishna conscious is, you know, kirtan. Kirtan means preaching, kirtan means also serving the deity so that others can appreciate Krishna consciousness, or even managing the Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada said someone who manages a Sankirtan party is also getting great benefit, or gives a donation so things go on. But somehow or other, push forward this movement. And that's how, if we serve Krishna with this tongue or glorification, somehow or other, or distributing books, I mean, there's many different methods. If we serve Krishna like that, then we can finally understand what spirit is. We don't understand that. We confuse spirit with matter. That's one of the frailties of the conditioned soul. He has a tendency to be an illusion. Makes mistakes. Don't we all make mistakes? Don't we get an illusion? We have imperfect senses. Maybe we don't cheat so much, but at least the other three. You know, imperfect senses. So therefore, we should be a little humble about the whole situation. We don't really understand. I mean, and actually you have great devotees
who say, you know, who are pure devotees, I don't even understand. And even Krishna, when he manifests himself as Ananta Shesh, cannot fully come to the end of his own glories. So who understands Krishna? But anyway, by serving Krishna, we can get some basic understanding of spirit and love Krishna. To understand Krishna 100% is not possible for any of us, because he's Ananta, unlimited. And that's what's also mentioned here. Actually, it's very interesting. It says in the verse, one of the last words, Ashesha. Ashesha-ha. That means he is unlimited. So we are limited. We cannot understand the unlimited, but we can love the unlimited, and to a certain extent, we can have some understanding of the unlimited and of spirit. But right now, no. So the way we do that is becoming first-class servants of Krishna. Okay? Summarizing the whole thing. So any questions or comments about any of the points I made? Yeah, I talked about management here, how to get the devotees working together, pushing forward the movement, even brought it down to this plane, and then brought it up to the spiritual plane after that. So we should have regular meetings between devotees. Relationship building. Build your relationship. Team spirit. And sometimes in the meetings, you don't even talk about what service you're doing. You just talk about how you can relate to each other and cooperate with each other. As Prabhupada said, your love is tested by your cooperation. Cooperation comes when you understand each other. So, no questions, comments, arguments, problems? Yes. Yeah. I don't see too much difference. The main problem everywhere is a lack of communication. Everywhere it's the same. Human beings are the same. Everywhere they may look different. They may talk different. They may, whatever, have different hair on their head. So. But they're all the same. Human beings have some basic needs, and unless they communicate with each other and have loving exchanges, it will be very hard to push forward this movement. And one of the things I mentioned the other day is that I've been examining different religious societies, I mean, like the Mormons, who are increasing very dramatically, exponentially, in fact. And they really have very close relationships. So we have to work. What I see here in Fiji is we really have to work on relationships. And trust. We have to develop a high trust culture instead of a low trust culture. What's that? Yeah, that's fine. A hierarchy is nothing wrong with a hierarchy, but they're relationships. Whether you have a hierarchy or oligarchy, what is that called where you don't have any hierarchy? What is a new system, Vishnu? I forget. It's almost like anarchy. It's not anarchy, but there's a new name for ways that organizations are set up, and it's an archy. It's something archy. You know, I forget. Where everybody is on the same level. So whether it's flat or it's vertical, the main thing is relationships. Because when you have relationships, then everybody works together as a team instead of pulling in different directions. Like Prabhupada gave the example of the disciples who are massaging the guru, and they're actually pulling, they're fighting over who will massage what part of the guru. Then pulling the poor guru apart. Can you imagine? You know, I want an arm. It's just like eating chicken or something like that. You know, give me an arm. Give me a leg. Give me the lotus feet. You know, and the poor guru is suffering. You know, stop, stop already. You're killing me. So we're something like that. So really, whatever system you have, and I have to remember the name of that system, but I'll look it up after class. You remember?
I'm thinking in the modern corporate organization.
Yeah.
Who's
Yeah. Doesn't work, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't work. Yeah, you have to have loving exchange. Of course, sometimes in the corporate world, their loving exchanges involve breaking the regulative principles, like all drinking together.
No, but I've seen, like, you know, you see corporate functions, you know, eating is one of the.
Yeah.
You go to have a cocktail, or you
go to have a
cocktail.
I agree. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, everything's about trust. Good point. That everything, if we want our movement to push forward, we have to develop even what the corporations are accepting nowadays. And then we'll feel part of a team. You know, a team. It's just like...
If there's no trust, man, it's like, you know, if I... Even if yogis, if I have a spiritual problem, and I share it with some yogi, it actually becomes the top of the temple.
Yeah.
So I'm not motivated, so I don't share. So if I have a problem, you know, I have anything, I won't share. So that's basically because we don't trust them.
Yes. Good point. There has to be... trust between each other, teamwork between each other, and it takes cultivation to do that. You can't just demand it. I mean, right now, we are like a rugby team that hasn't coordinated their actions. I mean, individually, we're all good players, but you know, that we're fighting each other for the ball instead of fighting the other opposing team. Isn't that... That's exactly what's happening in my analysis, kind analysis. Anyway, so on that happy note, so that basically the prescription is to set up systems where we're cultivating relationships with each other and trusting each other. But it'll take time. It'll take time. Maybe Vishwanath has someone from his corporation we can send, hire. Because sometimes it does take an outside person to, without any sort of like previous relationships to facilitate that sort of thing. Anyway, okay, thank you very much for this controversial class. So all glories to Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.